Okay, let's begin Pasuk Yud Aleph. We already did, we finished most of the Mefarshim, we can go further. Let's start with Pasuk Yud Aleph. This is the second part of the Haftorah from Shabbos Shuva. Okay, it's very powerful words. We read this again, Shabbos between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is when we read these words for the Haftorah. V'Hashem nosan koiloi lefnei cheloi. He's here, the Pasuk says that Hashem has sent forth His sound, His voice, before the army. Echel over here simply means the locust. Before the locust arrived on the scene, the Ribbono Shel Olam already sent forth His voice, He sent forth the sound. And what is the sound? The sound of Him is a warning to the world, the Klal Yisrael, that they should do teshuvah. We'll see soon a very beautiful Mincha Gedol explains the significance of what this is about. But over here, basically, it's telling us a principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not bring upon mankind punishment unless they are warned in advance. Okay, that's a very interesting idea that we know a person has a sense in advance that tragedy or that a tzara will come upon him. It's hard to say such thing now in modern day and age. You don't really get that sense. But that's what this pasuk says. V'Hashem nosan koiloi. He sent forth His voice lefnei cheloi, before this army. The army of here means the locusts, which are going to bring korban upon Eretz Yisrael. Why? The pasuk gives three reasons why Hashem sends forth His koil before the chel, the enemy, enters. Number one, ki rav ma'od machanehu. The camp of the Jewish people is numerous. Number two, ki otsum oisei divaro, it is mighty, the one, the singular, who does His words. Number three, ki godol yoim Hashem v'noira me'oid, the day of Hashem is great and awesome, very awesome, mi yichilenu, who is able to bear it. Lashon of yochil, okay, yochil means it means to bear. Who will be able to deal with it, to overcome it? And now that simply means that if a person, if it's put upon a person suddenly, if it's put upon a person suddenly, don't worry, Mr. Cole, no, anyway. If it's put upon a person suddenly, who is going to, a person is not going to be able to cope. A person needs time to prepare in advance to deal with what is about to come. It's a very profound pasuk. It's a very, very deep pasuk, and it's kedai to focus and pay attention to the deep meaning of this pasuk. Let's see the mitzvah stuff. Pasuk Yud Aleph from Mitzvah David. Nosan koiloi means el amoy hishmiya koilo al yidei hanevim lifnei bo cheloi hu ha'arbe. Okay, so the pasuk over here says that Hashem has sent forth His voice. Now, in this pasuk, it means that it was very good, easy in the olden days when we had prophets. A tragedy, calamity, did not come upon the Jewish people unless a Navi would inform Klal Yisrael that there is something terrible that is about to happen. This is a tremendous chesed. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not just bring upon Klal Yisrael a churban unless they are warned in advance, for what we're going to see, for three reasons. So that that has to mean that even that now, how do you translate that to today when we do not have Nevi'im? So you have to say, I don't know if I'm saying it's true or not, but nothing changes. What does it mean? What does it mean over here? What does it mean that Hashem is not in our day and age? We don't have Nevi'im in our day and age. So it has to then mean is that a person has a certain, like, you know, a sense. A person has a certain perception that things are not good. And he has to, it's not sudden. It's not
now a... You're making it personal.
Everything is both. Everything is for the Klal and the Prat. It's just different parallels. So the Klal Yisrael, is that really true? Do we talk about the Holocaust? Did study history? I don't know the history. Did Klal Yisrael really believe, really get a sense that the Holocaust would happen?
Not to the degree.
Not yet. Obviously, the answer is yes.
No, obviously, they didn't.
I don't agree with you.
They didn't. I don't. Okay, I'm just throwing out an idea. You read different accounts. There are definitely accounts where people saw what was coming and they got out. I remember this person over here. What's his name? Mr. Jared. Mr. Naftali Jared. Yeah. So he told me, he explained to me, he said to me that his family, they left. Why did they leave? Because they were not natives to Germany. He lived in King Frank, he was in Germany, a small little city in Germany. He says they came from England. And he says,
from where?
England. England. They came originally from England and they settled in Germany. And he says his parents, his family, they saw it coming. Why? Because they were not natives to Germany. When you're an outsider, it gives you a certain perspective that an insider is just, you're used to it, you're swept away, or you believe, you feel you're part of the country, you're part of the country. It could never happen such a thing. His family, they were immigrants in Germany. They were not native to Germany. They had a different perspective. And he said to me, they sensed much, much more of what's going to happen than the people who are citizens of Germany.
Yes.
And therefore, they picked themselves up and they got out.
It was easier to pick themselves up, but when other people knew that laws were being promulgated against the Jews.
So there are conflicting accounts. You'll read all different perspectives, different communities. It's a big 6 million people, a lot of people. And many people were so poor they had nowhere to go. They didn't have any money. They couldn't do anything. And if they wanted to do, they didn't know what to do. It's a very big mix. But the question I'm not focusing on, I'm focusing on this, to what degree did they get a sense of what was coming? Here, you have something very interesting. This is the Hashem Nosan Koilot. Most Mefarshim learn, not just poetry. Oh, Hashem, Hashem's voice is going through the world. It's a very poetic. It doesn't really mean anything. No, the Mefarshim, they take this pasuk very seriously and they translate the words to mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not bring a korban upon mankind unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them in advance exactly what's going to happen. They give you an opportunity, number one, either to do tshuva, or if you don't want to do tshuva, at least accept it. At least deal with it in a responsible way. Now, Mitzudas immediately says, V'Hashem Nosan Koiloi, oh, you have a Navi. There's a Navi. Well, what about today? Today there are no Nevi'im. So what do we do today? Today, before the Holocaust, there are no Nevi'im. You want to say that Talmidei Chachamim serve in the form of Nevi'im? Well, obviously it didn't work because the Talmidei Chachamim did not, by and large, did not tell the people to run away.
Opposite, they were discouraging.
They discouraged them to some degree. I don't know all the details, but that's at least partially correct. So how then do we deal with this pasuk in modern times when we do not have prophets? Where the pasuk does say the Hashem Nosan Koilot. This appears to be a principle in the world that does not change. Anything that's in Navi is something which remains forever. This is the DNA of Hashem's world. Hashem does not bring korban upon mankind unless they are warned in advance by Hashem himself. Mitzuda says, in this instance, it was through a Navi. El Amo, the Kormut Hamid, the Mitzuda Stavid, page 231. El Amo, Yeshmiya Koilo Aide Hanevim, Lifnei Bo, Cheloi, Hu Arbe, Hashem made known what's going to happen to his prophets before the locust arrived. Next, Kirav, Yitzonolai, Mash, Omar, Asher, Machaneh, Rabbo. Now, the Mitzudos is learning the Pasuk not the way we're going to see in the Mincha Gedoyla. In a few moments, we're going to read the Mincha Gedoyla, and he says something very, very powerful, and the Mitzudos David is not going in that path, and he says here, number one, when it says the first part of the Pasuk, Kirav, Me'od, Machanehu, this is a description of the locust. A description of the enemy. Further, Ki Rav Ritzon Lomar Shom Al Machaneu Rav Ma'od. And then I'm assuming that he doesn't, even though the Mitzudah stuff does not spell it out, when it says Ki Otsum Oisei Divaro, it's again referring to the locust. The locusts are the pawn of Hashem. They are pawn in Hashem's hand. They're an instrument in Hashem's hand being used to bring suffering upon Klal Yisrael. So the machane of the enemy is massive, and they are very, very mighty, and they are doing Hashem's will. Hashem has inspired them to bring upon the Jewish people suffering. Ki gadol yoyim Hashem v'noiram ma'oid mi yichilenu. That's not an explanation. It's just saying further in the Mitzudos, Oitzei Dvaro Hamashchis Mishlichus Hamokom Baruch Hu. The enemy, they are very powerful. Yoim Hashem, the Yoim Hapur Anuyos, Habome Hashem, Umi Yichilenu, Miyochol Lispol Hayoim Ahu. Who, just a statement, there's going to be no survivors. When Hashem says there's going to be a Churban, it's going to happen. The enemy is powerful, is given power, given might, and no one will be able to escape the punishment that Hashem wishes to bring to the world. But don't say you were not warned.
Yeah, I'm going to say no survivors. You mean no one unaffected.
Unaffected, okay. Okay, no one's unaffected. But don't say you were not warned. That's the beginning of the pasuk. You were warned. What's the advantage of being warned if you're not going to be able to survive? I guess there is an advantage. You maybe to some degree you can do teshuva. If you really want to do teshuva, you can do teshuva. Look at the story of the Megillah. In the Megillah, the Gezerah was complete. It was sealed. It's only because of the superhuman will of Esther and Mordechai, Lech Kinois Eskol HaYehudim, and to fast 3 days. That's the only reason why we survived. Otherwise, there was a Gezerah, LaHashmid, LaHarog, LaAbed, Eskol HaYehudim, Minar, V'ad Zokin, Taf, V'noshim, V'yom Echad. There would not have been any survivors. It's only because of Lech Chinois Kol HaYehudim, and unfortunately, whatever we're describing over here, if we're describing the Churban Yisrael Rishon, as the Baruch says, obviously it did not work. They did not get together, and that's why the Gezerah was carried out. Fine, but don't say you were not warned. Hashem is always giving you an opportunity, either to do tshuva, or if we're not going to be able to do tshuva, at least to prepare us mentally for what is going to happen. That's also a bracha. If Rachman will send a person, he's not going to be able to deal to a degree, at least to have the yishuv hadas, to be makabel upon himself the din, that can serve his neshama very great things in the next world. It's not a good thing for a person just to suddenly leave this world. Chazal they emphasize that it's a very great advantage that a person should know that he's dying, and should spend that time when he's about to leave the world doing teshuva. Person just disappears. He didn't. That's called a nisa chatufa. That's not a good thing for the neshama. They don't have an opportunity. So here, the Baruch Hu is having Rachmanis and Klal Yisrael and informing them. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk Yud Aleph says, "V'Hashem nosan aleihem koiloi v'mamar nevi'ah." That's exactly what the Mitzudos David said. Hashem is sending forth his prophets to inform the people what's going to happen. Lifnei before shalchoi bochem es cheiloi zeh, before he sends the enemy, this army, which is the locust, kirav ma'oid machanehu, the enemy is very, very massive, it's very large, asher yishalach bochem imlo teitivu. Rashi adds a little bit of a twist, if you do not do teshuvah. The reason why I'm sending my prophets to inform you is because I'm giving you one last chance to do teshuvah before this tragedy happens. Okay, now let's take a look at the Radak, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vashem nosan koloi vihinei okel nisparach hishmia boy hachayil hazel lifnei boho al yidei neviyav kidei sheyoshuvu b'shuvah. He's even more explicit. Umi yichilenu, umi yuchal lesavloi. There is no one that's going to be able to, very accurately, will not be affected. V'chei mi mechalkel etzion boho, who will be able to sustain himself on the day of Hashem's coming. Malbim, Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'Hashem v'forish atam sheyivutlu sidri hamarocha b'mei sh'Hashem nosan koiloi v'hu pokar adov v'hashkachosan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has ordered, has overseen this matter, So he's learning an entirely new twist, a whole new twist. Kishki shagam ki rav meoid machaneu shuho arbe sheshalach lehashchis es aretz. Although the locust is massive, the chol zois. Okay, so here is a new twist. This is not like anyone else. The three perushim you learned, you still have a chance. And he's translating the next words, otsum oisei devaro. It's otsum means mighty. Mighty is those who do his word. Me, if you do teshuva, you can turn the tide. Me, shiaseh devaroi, asher diber, sheyoshuvu beshuva, the yazvu avoinoi sehem, and abandon their sins, hu otsum machaneyu. This individual and his following is awesome, is mighty, and they indeed can counteract the enemy that is arriving. The yiskaber al ha'arbe, the garshenu min ha'aretz, it will be a good match. They'll be able to fight off the enemy, period. So look what he's doing over here. It's a beautiful parish. The Malbim is always, always novel, always very, very powerful in his translations. He's saying that Hashem nosan kol lufnei cheloi. Hashem is informing Klal Yisrael before the enemy comes. The cheloi here means the enemy, and he's saying over here now when it says the word ki, we have a new translation. Ki rav meoid machaneu, although the enemy, the machane of the enemy is powerful, but zel umazeh, they have an opponent. Ki otsum osei devaro. Likewise, the tzaddikim who do Hashem's will are also otsum. So now it's going to be a match between the rav and the otsum. The enemy is the rav, and the tzaddikim and their followers are the otsum. And this will be the big battle. This battle between the massive enemy versus the tzaddikim who are otsum, those who do his will. Look what it says further. It says further in the next verse of the Malbim, Ki gadol yoyim Hashem v'nerem ma'oyim ha'yoyim shehigbil lahanish es ha'chaitim. The day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has gathered together to punish the sinners, it's a very tragic day. Umi yichilenu ritzoin loymar migeder yisazer. Who is the man that will assert himself? Ois loshuv v'shuv shavazeh yichilenu. He's also translating the end of the pasuk different than everyone else. Who is the man that will be able to win? Yechilenu over here does not mean that everyone's going to be affected. There's going to be no survivors. Everyone's going to suffer. Mi yechilenu means who will be the victor? Who will overcome? It means to prevail. Umi yechilenu. Who is the one that will be from the select group of the Oisei Devaro that will be able to overcome this enemy, which we're calling here Ki Rav Meoid Machaneu? Hainu sheyuchal lisbol es hayoyim v'yochil and yochil es haparonus, overcome the punishment shelo yazik loy v'hinei kol ze nosan Hashem lufnei cheloi. This warning that shape up, get in shape, go to the gym, get yourselves ready for this war that's coming, and the gym is the base medrash. Work on doing tshuva. Haynu yamim rabim koydem shesholach es hachayil nosem koloi ayde hanavi kemo shemibe kol ze besimin aleph v'chol zois. The next one goes on to say, unfortunately, not everyone is with the program. So let's just recap.
One thing, based on what you said before, giving warning, does it have to come from a rod?
Like, no, not today we don't have that. That's the thing. Today, I'm trying to suggest that today a person within himself has a sense of what's happening.
The point is, because my father set the Yet Jabotinsky, and had to get rather moved 1936 to Israel, because he saw the anti-Semitism. My father said, 1937, the Galach stood in front of the Jews, says, don't buy from Jewish, don't buy from the Jew. And Jabotinsky was screaming, employed, run away, and they thought he was on the shaker.
But he left early.
Well, but he went back and preached. Maybe he should run away. He should go. But there was no place to go.
There was no place to go. Israel was closed. The
right.
British were very nasty. They were Shoyim, Amish, the British.
Right.
It's not for nothing the Igrun and all those groups of... I want to say... Basically, they were terrorist groups before the state, right? Isn't that what it was all about?
They were afraid. They were going to...
It wasn't for nothing. The British
had 200,000 troops.
The British were just outright, the richness was unbelievable. It was not to be believed. But it's not an excuse. I'm sorry. I mean, with all the richness,
and
some of the...
part of the Holocaust also, because even they didn't believe if you told them. They didn't believe. My father was in prison in Russia, in Siberia. And he said it was a Yiddish, it was a prisoner, came from Auschwitz. He said, behind the Jews, killing Jews. They don't believe it.
Only 12 people escaped from Auschwitz.
Yeah.
That's what I read somewhere. 12 people, that's it, escaped. There were survivors, people who survived at the end of the war, but to escape during from Auschwitz itself?
No, but that's not what
I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
talking
but
about seeing it
before that.
It gets to that point.
There are many conflicting accounts, there are many stories, and it's super, super duper complex. For very many reasons. Where are you going to go? Who wants you? Look at the story of the ship of the St. Louis. That was late. That was the real Kristallnacht. That happened before Kristallnacht, right?
After
Kristallnacht? That was after Kristallnacht?
So nobody cares.
No one cares. They say that was even more significant than Kristallnacht, that event. Okay,
America
so...
America had also to do with it. All right, but the point is, your attempt to bring this forward into modern times.
Yeah. So how do we bring
really
in modern times? Talk about the Holocaust.
Lev
Chazal have a rule. Lev yodeya moras nafsho. A person knows the bitterness of his own soul.
All I can say about that is that the longer the Golos goes on,
the greater the hestapanim.
The more difficult it is for us to read the signs.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. Hester Panim, okay? That's what it's all about. Hester Panim. We don't have Naveen. Here they had at least the advantage of Navi telling them what's going to happen. Did it make a difference? It didn't make one bit of a difference. They didn't listen. They didn't listen anyway. All right, but over here, I want to recap. Over here, I want to recap because I want to appreciate this pasuk. We're reading now the Minchah Gedolah. But I want to recap. This is a very, very powerful pasuk. It's not for nothing that we read this pasuk on Shabbos, Shuvah before Yom Kippur. So far we are basically two mahalchim. We have a very simple translation of the pasuk Lufi, the parish of Rashi, the Mitzudois, and the Radak. And the pasuk here is describing the enemy of the Jewish people. The enemy is described as being Rav Me'oit. The enemy is described as being Otsum, who is really just a tool in the hand of Hashem, is Otsum, who is Osei, doing the Devaro, the word of Hashem. Hashem inspired them to do this, yeah?
I want to point out, it's kind of a role reversal, but the beginning of Shmos, the Mitzrayim, look at the Jewish problem, and they say, Hine, Am B'nei Israel, Rav,
Otsum. Ooh, wow, fascinating. Both words come together. Wow, that's very, very, very fascinating. You match up with this pasuk over here. So they're calling us the Rav and the Otsum. They're calling us the Rav and the Otsum. And here, according to Rashi, the Mitzudas and the Malbim, we're calling them the Rav and the Otsum. Very, very good. Very, very good. The people there to show, the people didn't have this there to show. They're the Rav and Otsum. That's right. Again, so they complain. The Eretz Yisrael, the people who are living in Eretz Yisrael, the Kananim, are Rav Yotzi. That also very good. You see these two go together. But in this part, according to Rashi, the Mitzvus Neradak, we are describing the enemy. The enemy is called Rav and Otsun. Now, and then it says, Kigol Yom Hashem. Then it just says, we wind down, according to Rashi, the Mitzvus Neradak, the Godol Yom Hashem, the Neira Me'oidu Mi Yechilenu, no one's going to be able to escape the effects of the Churban that is about to come. So Mi Yechilenu is not a very happy word. Who is going to escape the Churban that will come upon Klal Yisrael? And what is the beginning of the Pasuk? Don't say, I didn't warn you. Don't say, V'Hashem Nosan Koiloi. Don't say, I didn't warn you. This is what's going to happen. The Gezeirah is sealed. You have an enemy that's Rav and Otsum. Umi Yechilenu, no one's going to be able to survive this. But don't say, I didn't warn you. What's the purpose of warning? Because maybe you can still do tshuva. If you really, really want, you can do tshuva, if you want. And if you don't want to do tshuva, at least be matzik olav esadin. I'm giving you a bracha, at least to accept what's going to happen, so when you die, you should not die suddenly, you should die knowing, you say tzidik adin. Basically, say tzidik adin, at least accept upon yourself what's about. That's also a bracha. Okay, it's hard for us to swallow that, but we don't see the big picture of the next world. Person knows what's happening and is maharer in tshuva and says about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like in the kinois of Tzidkiyahu, he said the words Kitzadiku Hashem. His last dying words were when they killed him, when Paro and Necho killed him as a punishment for not listening to Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah the Navi told him what to do, and he said, Yirmiyah, you are wrong. I'll do what I want to do, and you leave. And then when he was dying, he died slowly, and he said the words Kitzadiku Hashem. That's exactly what's happening over here. The Navi is telling them, therefore, if you're not going to repent, at least say Ki Tzadiku Hashem. Now, let's take a look at that. That's Rashi, the Mitzudos, and the Radak. Then we have the Malbim, which is a fascinating parish. It's unbelievable, the Radak says. Appreciate what it says, the Radak. The Radak over here says that Hashem is giving you an opportunity to do tshuva because the enemy is Rav Me'oid, Machaneh, but you, Klal Yisrael, if you want, only if you want, you can be Otsum, you can be even more powerful than the enemy if you will do teshuva and become an individual or a nation or a group who is Osei Devaroi. You do Hashem's will. If you will do Osei Devaro, then you will be Otsum. And thus, you will be able to overcome the enemy. That's Rav Me'oid, Machaneyu. And now Hashem leaves it with a test. Let's see now who's up to the challenge. Umi Yechilenu. Who is up to the challenge that will be able to become a tzaddik, to do tshuva, and overcome this incredible, massive enemy? Now, this parish of the Malbim, you mentioned over here, Bereshis, and Shemos, that the Egyptians said about us, that they felt threatened. In Shemos it says that Klal Yisrael is Rav, the Egyptians were afraid of us, and you mentioned Shalach, but I just want to take note that the difference, the famous thought, the difference between Yaakov and Esav. Esav said, Yesh li Rav. When Yaakov wanted to give Esav a gift, Esav said, I don't need your gifts. Yesh li Rav. I have my own rabbi. I have my own rabbi. Don't tell me who my rabbi is. Yesh li Rav. I have a lot. Yaakov said, Yesh li Koil. When Esav wanted to give Yaakov a gift, Yaakov said, Yesh li Koil. What's the difference between Rav and Koil? So the Farshim explain is Rav means you're never happy, you're never satisfied. Mi sheyesh lo mona roitze mosan. I have a lot. I'm a multi-multi-millionaire, but I'm not happy. I have no simchas hachayim until I have double. And when I'll have double, I won't have simchas hachayim until I'll have double that. It's an endless cycle of frustration and agmas nefesh. If you're living a life of yesh li Rav, I have a lot. I have a lot of cars. A lot of real estate, a lot of food, a lot of wine, a lot of wives, a lot of all these things that the goyim are looking for, Rav, you'll never be happy. You'll always want more, 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 more. If you live a life, yeshli koil, I have everything that I need. What do I have? I have nothing. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnfeld, the Rav of Yerushalayim, he lived in abject poverty that today would shock us. They would not allow a homeless person in America today to live the way Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnfeld lived. And when he was greeted, there was one of the I'm not sure who it was. Maybe it was a head of state, either from Eretz Yisrael, or it was from another country came to visit him. They couldn't believe how the Rav of Yerushalayim could live like this. They couldn't believe it, and the people were embarrassed for him. So they wanted to do something to take him to a new location, and they refused. You know, he had to bend down all the way just to get into his house. It was basement. He had to bend all the way down just to get in. The only thing he allowed them to do was to put a tablecloth on the table. That was the most he allowed them to do in honor of the head of state, whoever it was. I'm not sure.
Above the tablecloth.
48 by 48 by 45. So they had, but if you would ask Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnfeld, what would he say? He would say, "Yeshli kol, I have everything that I need." Kol, yeshli kol. Well, he showed them. You can see from his window. You can see the Temple Mount, and he said, as long as Hashem's Shechin is in Golos and the Goyim are trampling upon the Har Habayis and there's a mass and done with the rock, it's not kedai to have any to indulge in anything good in this world. But in any event, if a person lives a life yeshli koil, you could have nothing. It's a matter of the mind, the attitude. Look over here. Over here we have two different contrasts according to the Malbim, the contrast between the Goyim and between Klal Yisrael. Over here we have the Goyim, the Machane, the enemy. The enemy of you is called, described, Ki Rav Me'oid Machaneu. It's a Machane. It's a camp, which means it's an army. It's a multitude, millions of soldiers. And it's called Rav Me'oid. Who is the opponent? The opponent is Osei Divaro, B'loshon Yochid. B'loshon Yochid. One person. One person who is the Osei Divaro is described as being Otsum, mighty. You have one little nuclear bomb, and you have millions, billions of people with bows and arrows. Who's going to win? Who's going to win? The bows and arrows or the nuclear bomb? The nuclear bomb's going to win, the bows and arrows. So you can have Mitzad Echad Rav Me'oid, and you can have one little tzaddik, who's the Oisei Divaro, and he's called the Otsun. He's Otsum ki Otsum Oisei Divaro. It's amazing. According to the Malbim, is bringing out this contrast is the Milchama is not won by numbers. It's won by who is the Otsum. The Rav, the numbers, the weapons, the power, it's nothing. It's the Oisei, the Yochid, who is an Oisei Divaro. He is the Otsum and he is the opponent of the Rav Me'od. And that's what it means. Such a war, where you have the Rav, Machaneu, versus the Oisei Devaro, who is Otsum, is the Godol Yoim Hashem V'Noira Me'od. To witness such a thing is called Godol Yoim Hashem. This is a very great... This is the Gadol Yom Hashem, the Noira Ma'oin Umiyach Ilenu. Who is up to the challenge? Who's up to the challenge to be the Oisei Devaro that will go up against the Rav Me'oid? Okay, now, that in mind, now let's take a look at the Mincha Gedolah. Mincha Gedolah is going to present a radically different interpretation of this Pasuk, which opens up many Hashkafic issues. Okay, there's a lot of Chochma here in this Mincha Gedolah. Let's go see over here. The Mincha Gedolah, starting Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hashem, Nosan, Koilai. So what does it say? It says over here, Hinei Yochel Hu Yisparach, Yochel Hu Yisparach, Vehevi Amaka Beli Hasra Techila. If Hashem wants, Hashem is not limited. Don't hold Hashem hostage. Don't try to be mitzamsem and to limit what can Hashem do, what can Hashem not do. If Hashem wants, Hashem can bring the makah b'li hasra t'chil without any warning in advance. Omnam, tachas sholosh sibois osa. So So he's teaching us an incredible chiddush in this pasuk. What this pasuk means, the Kadosh Baruch Hu does not punish man, does not punish Klal Yisrael without warning for three reasons. Reason number one, achas al roiv minyan shel Yisrael. Number one, the fact that the Jewish population is massive. Okay, Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael today is approximately 15 million people. There are 15 million Jews throughout the world approximately. In Eretz Yisrael, there are about 6-7 million Jews today. And Hashem, just the sheer numbers is significant to Hashem. It's a chiddush. I mean, Hashem takes into consideration, you just don't, the population of the Jewish people is something to be taken into consideration no matter how bad they are, no matter how many sins they have committed. The collective suffering of 6 million people is something you take into consideration, or 50 million people, yeah.
I think our numbers are very, very small.
Ki atem hama'at mikol ha'am. Try to count the 6 million. See how far you get.
No, but I mean, compared to what it took us, just now, to say now, like I said, Bli Nahara, where our numbers are now, what they were before the
war. Okay,
it took us 70 years.
70 years.
If you look at the Russians, look at the other countries that also had tremendous amounts of people lost, they made up those numbers
right away. Interestingly, I know that.
No, I think our numbers are very, very small because first of all, there's a lot of assimilation, a lot of Yidden, besides the Holocaust, I mean, you know, Yidden are assimilated, and the birth rate, except for the Brum community, is very, very small.
You're right.
It took us 70 years.
70 years to replenish our number from what it was before the war. You're correct. But still in all, 15 million people are a lot of people.
It's more than you can chill in the house.
Okay, so 50, it's still a big number. And therefore, just the sheer number is something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's over here, the Mincha Gedolah is teaching us in Yesod. He's teaching us the thinking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because you can't draw any conclusions of how Kadosh Baruch Hu thinks, how he conducts the world. According to the Menachem Gedolah, this is a passage from Navi, and the Navi over here is coming to reveal to us an insight into Kadosh Baruch Hu that you can never ever say on your own unless you have a prophet reveal such a secret. It's Sisrei Torah. Just because Klal Yisrael's 15 million people, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to hold back from punishing Klal Yisrael if they deserve punishment. If they deserve punishment, he'll do whatever he wants. No, he's telling us, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes into consideration the collective suffering of many people. No matter what, even if they're deserving of pain. It's a difference of causing one person pain relative to causing 15 million people pain. That's what it says. That's what it's saying in Chiddush. That's the thing. Pshat in the Pasuk. It's a very novel Pshat in the Pasuk. Achas. Al roiv minyon shel Yisrael. Shenis. What's the second reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not just bring suffering upon Klal Yisrael without warning? Al roiv binyon shel kitzos rishumim tzadikim shebador leman kivoydem. Those are hard words to translate. What he's basically saying is, due to the honor and respect of tzaddikim, even if they are few and far in between, they make up the skeleton. Okay, the skeleton, the bones of the person is not the majority of the person. It's the roiv binyan. The majority of the skeleton of the person is the. He's calling it the roiv binyan. It's the foundation of Klal Yisrael. It's built by the tzaddikim. Although they may be few and far in between, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol, whatever this means, has respect for them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just going to bring a tzar upon the Gantz Klal Yisrael if a few tzaddikim who are truly righteous do not deserve to suffer. So because in their merit, the whole Klal Yisrael gets a pass. That's what it says. We'll see further. Number three, the third reason why Hashem will not bring suffering, shlishis, al eichus hadavar ki koshe me'oid, regarding the punishment itself is cruel. Irrespective to the numbers and the tzaddikim. Even if there were no tzaddikim chas, even if it was a small population, just the fact that There is an intensity in the pain, and of what will come, that itself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes into consideration HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not here in this world to torture man. If man has to be tortured, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes into consideration and withholds punishment. Now, with those three, that introduction, he's now going to show you that's exactly where did I make this away. I pulled this out of the hat, I made it this Yisoy, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking is, I have Rachmanis on population, I have Rachmanis upon a few little tzaddikim, and I have Rachmanis upon the nature of the cruel punishment. Where did he get this? From this pasuk. That's how he translates the words of this pasuk. Okay, so here he writes, therefore, through informing in advance what's going to happen, people have an opportunity to do tshuva, they'll be able to make the tzara less. Or maybe they'll really do tshuva 100% and the gezeira will be batal. Now, this is the pshat in the pasuk lefi the mincha gedoyla. V'zeh omar, v'hashem, ma shenosan koilo lefnei chelo. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way he operates the world, is he does not bring punishment upon mankind, upon Klal Yisrael, unless he first lets them know what's going to happen. Lahasroisam, to warn them, before the enemy, lahasroisam, to warn them. Okay, we turn to the next page 233. Al yidei hanavi, who al shloisha sivois, is for three reasons. Achas, number one, ki rav meoid machaneu. So here is where he's deviating the Mincha Gedolah with everything we learned until now. He's different, and he's coming to deviate from the Mitzudos, from Rashi, the Radak, and the Malbim. When it says, Ki Rav Me'oid Machaneu, is describing Klal Yisrael. We're not describing the enemy. Klal Yisrael is numerous in population, and therefore Hashem will not bring Korban just because of that. Al Ki Rav Me'oid Machaneu, Hey Yisrael, Ki Rabim Heima, V'chos, Hashem has compassion, al ribu yu'am. Shein is the second reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu is not being punished without informing Klal Yisrael first. Ki gam sheyiyeh yochid tzadik, because there may be yechidin, individuals amongst Klal Yisrael who are truly righteous, 100%, and they are not deserving of this punishment. In their merit, everyone will be spared. Yochid tzadik sheyimotzei b'neihem machshivoy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu values the Yochid, who's the Tzaddik, and his merit, Hashem tells the world what's going to happen. Maybe they'll do tshuva. Number three, ki hine otsum oisei devaro, which means the punishment that's going to come upon the Jewish people. The nature of the punishment is cruel. It's harsh. And Hashem has rachmanis not to bring harsh punishment. Lefanov yisparach otsum choshev ma'od. That's going back on the tzaddik. That's number two. Ki hine otzim loisei devaro, the tzaddik, who's the yachid, lefanav lisparach otzim choshev ma'od, before Hashem, a tzaddik is mighty and is very choshev. Shlishis, the third reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not being punished with that warning. Ki gadol yoyim Hashem v'noro ma'od u'mi yichilenu, who can survive, who can bear, who is going to be able to be to prevent himself from not being affected? Beli hoido techilo terembo, before it comes. Okay, so this is
question, philosophical question. So what happened with the Holocaust?
We spoke about that in the beginning.
Right. So the answer is that you have to understand what he's saying. He's saying Hashem gave him a warning to do tshuva because you have these three good things which will protect you. But if you're wrong, go ahead and do tshuva. These three things will not help.
Exactly.
Right.
Of course. That's not the point. The point is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still gives a warning. He still gives a warning. And we discussed that. What's the purpose of the warning? Two things. Either, number one, do tshuva. Number two, if you're not going to do tshuva, at least be matzdik olav es hadin. And that's a bracha. Because we said, we discussed this. Chazal discussed a misa chatufa. A person just doesn't wake up. He's in the prime of his life, he goes to sleep, and he doesn't wake up. A misa chatufa. It's a horrible thing. Why is it horrible? He did not have an opportunity to prepare to die. Dying is a kapara. There is we don't know how this works, but that's what Chazal say. It's not a good thing if a person knows that it's, there's an end that's coming. He has an opportunity to do teshuva and to accept it. Be matzikul of esed, and that does for his neshama wonders in the next world. So this is what Hashem informs. But now we're being introduced to a new concept according to the Mincha Gedolah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does this for three reasons. Number one, Hashem has compassion upon the numbers. Number two, Hashem has rachmanis upon yechidim, individuals who are tzaddikim. And number three, forget about tzaddikim, forget about the numbers. Even if it was just one person, it's painful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create a world in order to cause people to suffer. Okay, that's a Christian philosophy. Christian philosophy is you come into this world to suffer. That's what they believe. That's their ideology. You come into this world, you're going to Gehenna. That's where you're going. Man is evil. You're here in this world. God is an evil genius. He's just here to make you suffer. You want to get out of suffering? You want redemption? Oh, then you got to work. You got to struggle. You got to struggle. You have to believe in Yashka. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do all these crazy things in order to redeem your soul from the suffering that is predestined to come upon you. This is a horrible curse religion to say such a thing like that. It's a curse religion that God created this world to cause man to suffer. That's the default. You're here to suffer. And the only way you get out of suffering is you have to do crazy things and go kill Jews and believe in these crazy people who tell you, trust me, God came to me, trust me. What kind of crazy religion is this? Doesn't make one bit of sense. Yadus is Hashem Olam Chesed Yibaneh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man to do chesed, to give him benefit, to give him good. Everything is here in this world in order to be mahana, and we see people suffer. That's just something that has to happen sometimes due to man's own failing. He has to rectify himself in order to get back where he needs to be to receive the baracha that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world to give. Hashem created the world to be native es habrios. This is the most fundamental yesod of what Yadus is versus the most popular religion in the world. They fluctuate which one is more popular, Christianity or Islam, but certainly Christianity, it's built upon the entirely different set of rules, which has no validity and no standing and doesn't even make logical sense.
But Hashem also created the need for us to discover him.
Yes, that's all part of the Hatava. It's all part of the technique. Hester upon him. Because Chazal said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan A was to create a neshama and to put that neshama directly into Gan Eden and fill up him with everything that he could possibly want and need, Tanugi Olam Haba, whatever that is. And what happened? What did Hashem see? That man, the neshama, would have no pleasure if that would happen. Why? It's called in Kabbalah, it's Mechla Dimhem Diki Sufa. Diki Sufa means embarrassment. Bread of shame. If you don't earn your keep, if you have not earned your keep, you take a handout, it doesn't taste good. You're just a leech. There's no pleasure in taking handouts. Man has a need, the neshama has a need to earn his pleasure. Therefore, Hashem created this world of Hesed upon him to discover Hashem so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give you that good that was meant to be for you with through earning it. Okay, these are Kabbalistic terms, concepts. You have to look down the Ramchal. All of the Sifrei Ramchal, he's the one who came to the rescue to lay out all of the Ikar Yesodos of the purpose of creation. If not for Ramchal, we'd be in a lot of trouble today. Okay, let's go now to, so this is the chiddush, a tremendous chiddush of we have learned the laskana, really three mahalachim, the pasuk, Rashi, Radak, and the Mitzudos. Then we learn the chiddush of the Malbim, and now we walk away with the chiddush of the the Mincha Gedoyla, three major different, three very different Peirushim in this passage. Each Peirush is powerful in and of itself. And it's inside this. And it's not from that, not for nothing. We read this on Shabbos, Shuva, this passage. Pasuk Yudbeis, v'gamahatu num Hashem. Now we go into a long description of the demands of how to do tshuva. V'gamahatu, and also now num Hashem, so says Hashem, shuvu odai b'chol levavchem. Return odai means to me, with all of your heart, uvitzoyim, with fasting, uvitzchi, and with crying, uvimispeit, and with eulogy, okay, hespit. Okay, that's a little bit of a chiddush because we don't normally associate, we do not associate doing teshuva with hespit. What's the hespit? Hespit is mourning. Tisha B'Av is a unique day in that there are two elements that come together. It's again tainis, and mitzad sheni it's deva velus. There's no halacha you've never seen an ovel fast. Rachmana litzan, a person who's doing shiva, tech shiva, he has all the whole 9 yards of avails. He sits on the floor. He doesn't wear leather shoes. His clothing are ripped. He doesn't take a haircut. I mean, what does an oval not do? That's where it all comes from. Did you ever see an oval not eat? Chumrah, a machmir. I'm fasting for 7 days. Every day I'm going to fast until tzeis hakachavim. From morning until night, all 7 days. Adra, you walk into this oval, it looks like a restaurant sometimes. Okay, it's a little bit out of hand sometimes. People bring it. It gets a little bit, not so posh even what to do that. It gets a little bit out of hand. Oh, why don't you fast? It's not a tzom, it's not a tainus. Avelus is avelus. A yom tzom is a yom tzom. On tainus Esther, you don't sit on the floor. You don't wear sneakers. You can wear your freshly laundered garments. Hayaluchad v'hayaluchad. So over here, this is Shabbos Shuvah. We're dealing over here with what? We're dealing over here with a tainus, a yom tzoyim. So what in the world is the word misfate doing here? What's misfate? If the Navi is demanding of Klal Yisrael to do teshuva, the word misfate doesn't belong. A day of teshuva is a day b'chol levavim, b'chol tzoyim, b'chiv, and misfate. Misfate does not appear to be the correct form, technique. So we have to figure this out. Okay, we have to read very carefully the nuances of how the Mefarshim explain this to get a better idea. Let's read another pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. V'kiru levavchem bi'al bigdal. This is a very, very famous pasuk. Shav Shuva. V'kiru levavchem bi'al bigdechem. Bal tashchis. Don't rip your clothing. If you're not going to rip your hearts, then don't bother ripping your clothing. You have to open up your heart. V'al, do not destroy your clothing. V'shuvu l'Hashem elokeichem, return to Hashem elokeichem, ki chan rachum ha'hu Hashem has his compassion and rachmonis, erech ha'pam v'rav chesed, Hashem is slow to anger, full of chesed, v'nichom al hora'ah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nichom, he changes, he's willing to overlook, he's willing to, nechama means to change his frame of mind. He's able to undo the gezerah of evil that is meant to come upon Klal Yisrael. Let's take a look at these two together. Pasuk Yudbeis in the midst of the Stavit. Pasuk Yudbeis v'gamata. Achar shenigzera ha-gezer. It's not too late. You can still do tshuva. Kiru l'vavchem. Return to Leimar. Asu ha-chanoa b'leif. Humble your heart. V'lo b'maaseh kriya ha-blodim l'vad. Don't just rip your clothing. In other words, you have to rip your clothing because that's what creates, it does something to you. It opens up your mind. But the ikari is to open up your hearts, v'shuvu, and do tshuva hachna kazois shuvu l'Hashem ki chan v'irachim aleichem peri v'nichem mischolei. The Kodesh Baruch Hu has regret al harosh shechoshav la'asois that he's going to do. Let's see. Rashi pasuk Gimel says, Rashi pasuk Gimel v'al bigdeichem ki eini chash lekriyas bigdeichem. I'm not. It doesn't mean anything to me if you rip your clothing and if you do not do tshuva. Davar acher kiru levavchem v'al titzorchu lekroya bigdeichem machmas edel. If you will only in advance open up your hearts and do tshuva, then the gezerah will be bottled and it will not be necessary for you to rip your clothing in mourning that will come upon you when your relatives die. So it's giving right away, Rashi, right away, come and give us a little bit of a twist. over here is over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you, I want you to do tshuva in advance. Do tshuva in advance because over here, the ripping of the clothing is not ripping of clothing for Yom Tainus. There should not be avelus. So this is coming to answer our question. I only posed the question on misspeit, but you could ask exactly the same question on Kiru Bigdeichem. Since when do you rip your clothing when you do teshuva? When Klal Yisrael, why are you doing that? Why are you on a Yom Tzad, we don't rip our clothing. On Tisha B'Av, maybe you can say a sorry because it's Day of Avelus. But when a person is doing tshuva for Tainus, you don't have to rip your clothing. So it's exactly what Rashi is coming to explain. He's telling over here is, do teshuva. If you will do teshuva, you will prevent tragedy from coming upon Klal Yisrael. If there will, Rachmanu Litzlan, be tragedy, that means people are going to die. When people are going to die, then you're going to sit shiva for them. And when you sit shiva, you're going to have to rise kriya. Now take this idea in Pasuk Yudgimel and go back to Pasuk Yudbeis and you can learn the Pasuk the same way. Hashem says, Shuvu Odai B'chol Levavchem Uvitzoymu Uvchi Uvin Mispeid. Now you have to be a little more creative to do it in this Pasuk and do tshuva with fasting and crying, because by doing so, doesn't say this, I'm being a little bit too extreme, by doing so you'll prevent yourself from coming Lidei Hesped. In the second pasuk we have the word V'al. Kiru Levavchem, so it should not be necessary that the Churban should come and then you'll rise Kriya for your relatives. Likewise, do teshuva and fast and cry to Hashem in Tainus and Teshuva, so it should not be necessary that there'll be a Churban and you'll have to come Lidei Hesped. Let's go further. V'nicham al hara nepach l'machshav acher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to change his mind. He's not going to bring korban. He's going to allow you to survive. Let's see over here in Radak pasuk yudeis. V'gam ato tam al tam v'gam rotzal loyma v'im loy toshuvu lefnei boy gam ato achrei boy ani ma'asir eschem she toshuvu. He's telling us over here is even if you do not listen to me and the korban comes, you should do tshuva even when the korban is upon you. Now this, we had this idea back before. It's a very powerful idea. And that is, a person can very easily be misled to believe that the only time it's worthy to do teshuva is before the tzara comes. But Rachmana Litzlan, when the tzara has already come and the tzara is in motion, it's meaningless. It's a waste of time to do teshuva. To that, we have numerous students that reject that idea. Even at the moment when the tzara mamish has come upon Klal Yisrael, is also a benefit to doing teshuva at that moment. Although at that moment it's not likely that it's going to change anything. Mm-hmm. It's going to change the facts. It's the korban is in motion, but still teshuva is advantageous to your neshama even when the korban is in motion. Don't have a double heart. Two standards. Shetaru darki hatshuva b'neginigla, to make believe you're doing tshuva, but inside your heart, uvanistar loy tshuvu. Nusuch acher, shetaru darki hatshuva b'nira uvanistar, v'yat tshuva tiyah b'nistar, ki hi o ikar. Other pshat is, don't do both. I don't need you to do external signs of tshuva. The only thing that counts is to do tshuva in your heart. Doesn't explain this. Soifet over here means to eulogize. You have to humble yourself. Exactly like Rashi. If you only do tshuva, you'll never need to come lidei ripping your clothing. Ki chan rechamahu, kein midei sof, kemo shakot b'torah, shum minachem al harol l'shavim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always regrets, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always changes his gzeri, he's mevatel the gzeri, annuls the gzera. Vayinochem Hashem al harol, asher dibur l'asos l'yamo. Okay, let's take a look over here quickly at the Malbum. The Malbum, Pasuk Yudbeis, and Yugimel, v'gam ato, agam sh'ato, k'var bo hachayel, k'var bo hayom agadol, Al takshavu she'im takana. although the enemy is upon you, there's always hope. Ki gamato in the Hashem shuvu adai b'chol v'avchem v'amar shuvu adai gagam shani ato rochok mikem. Even though I am at a distance, you can still do tshuva rak shetia tshuva b'chol v'avchem v'lo v'lev v'lev v'shetia b'tzabu v'chiv v'mispet tshuva avide v'aziv v'sachet. So he's saying over here refers to the abandoning of chet. The kiru achar kach kitikru l'vavchem shenis she'acharata hagemura al ha'avar. Okay, the sins that you are doing is worse than the punishment. This is a very deep idea. Now, we're not going to elaborate, we really spent time on this before. The Malm is where we had this about 2 weeks ago. The Malm really brought this out in many, many words. He elaborated very, very much. He explained that teshuvah, there's a two-step process in teshuvah. There's first teshuvah meyira, and then there is teshuvah me'ahava. Okay, this is the sheet of the Malm. He read a pasuk a couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago like that, and he's doing exactly the same thing over here in this pasuk. He's explaining over here. That's why it says over here twice. It starts with Pasuk Yibes, Gamato, Nu'um Hashem, Shuvu, Odai, Bechol, Levavchem, Uvitzim, Bechivim, Misfeit. And then it goes on, Nochamol, Pasuk Yib Gimel, Vikiru, Levavchem, Vial, Bigdechem, Vishuvu, El Hashem, Elokeichem. Ask the Malbim, why in Pasuk Yibes and Yud Gimel is there poetic repetition? Why does it say the word Shuvu twice? Pasuk Yud Beis deals with Teshuvah, and Pasuk Yud Gimel deals with Teshuvah. So this is an idea that he discussed in the past, and he tells you that the process of Teshuvah is, you start with Teshuvah Meyira. And then when you've achieved Yira, you then can proceed to do Teshuvah Me'ahava. You cannot skip steps. We are always brainwashed, misled as children, is that you can do two types of tshuva. Here you are. You're now in the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. You have a choice. You have a choice of doing tshuva me'yira or doing tshuva me'ahava. I'm telling you the choice. The choice is do tshuva me'ahava, because ava turns the zedoinois into shagaga, into zuchuyois. If you do tshuva me'yira, your averois will turn into shagagois. That's the way we are trained. Two different types of tshuva. The Malbim says that's wrong. There's no way you can come to Teshuvah Me'ahava if you skip the step of Teshuvah Me'yira. There's Teshuvah Me'yira. After you've mastered that, you've got your degree, now you can graduate and go to graduate school and go to Teshuvah Me'ahava. You cannot skip steps. And that's exactly what it says here in these two psukim, back to back, Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. The first one is the Yira. And that's why this tzoim, that's notice this fasting and this crying and this eulogizing. Why all of these things? Why all of these things? Because this is what you do when you're afraid. When you're afraid, you do things in order to show that you're afraid. Pasuk Yud Gimel doesn't make any mention over here of doing fasting, crying. It says rip your hearts open. The heart is the ikar. Don't even rip your clothing. I don't need the external things, the clothing and the fasting and the eulogizing. I want your heart. Shuva me'ava. It's a very powerful concept. It's a two-step process, ava and yira. And l'chor, that's really what we do during the entire process leading up to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We have 40 days of teshuva in Chodesh Elul. The whole Chodesh Elul is the prelude to Rosh Hashanah. Slichos. Sfardim say slichos with Rosh Chodesh Elul. They start saying slichos. We don't do that, but at least we blow shofar. We blow shofar Rosh Chodesh Elul. Elul is the zman. Ani li dodi v'dodi li. What are we doing during that time? Teshuva meyira. And then we have Rosh Hashanah. And then what do we have? More teshuva. Why is it designed in that way? The age-old question. It should be first Yom Kippur and then Rosh Hashanah. First do tshuva, and then you can come into the Yom HaDin. Why do we have it backwards? You first have Rosh Hashanah, and then you have Yom Kippur. The answer is because you have to have a two-step tshuva process. You first have the tshuva me'yira for 40 days, and then which culminates in Rosh Hashanah, when you blow the shofar Rosh Hashanah, you come into Rosh Hashanah with the teshuva meyira, and now you have 10 days to the teshuva me'ahava, do it all over again. But this time me'ahava, and you come into Yom Kippur to a higher level, to a higher level where HaKadosh Baruch Hu transforms your averos into zechuyos. And then the next day is ulakachtem lechem b'yom harishon rishon lecheshbon avonos. Why wasn't rishon lecheshbon avonos on the day after Rosh Hashanah? Because after Rosh Hashanah, your averos are shgogos. They're still there. It's just not an avon b'mezid. It's a shgoga. In order to go from a shgoga to a zuchus, you need the tshuva me'ahava, the second stage of tshuva, and now it's rishon lecheshbon avonos. Someone once pointed out, it's very interesting, once upon a time I spent time learning the Nusach HaTzvila. Once upon a time I had an opportunity to daven for the Amud for about 11 people. Hopefully there were 11 people there when I was davening, like in a basement somewhere. So I was very so excited, you can't imagine, I was so excited, an opportunity of a life, but who'd ever ask me to daven for the Amud? I don't have a voice, I don't have anything. The people who I daven for, I don't think they can tell the difference between me and Helfgott. I don't think they would know the difference if you asked them.
You know Ezra.
What?
You know
Ezra. They couldn't tell. I don't think they would know. That's okay. So the people write down for they manage. They don't know from nothing, and I don't know from nothing. So it's a good shidduch, right? They don't know from nothing. I don't know from nothing. It was a good shidduch. But I got excited. So I went. I studied. I got tapes and this and that to learn the nusach. It was a fascinating experience. And in the process, I discovered that there are two different types of nuschos. You can take every nusach pretty much today, and you can basically divide it into two different categories. There are a lot of nuschos. Okay, there's the Chevron nusach, and there is they call the Torah Vedas nusach, which really is Lakewood. Lakewood is the Torah Vedas nusach, and then there is the Chassidish are very different. A lot of different types of Chassidish nusach. But basically, everything falls into one category. Is it a davening of Yira or a davening of Ahava? The Litvashe Nuschois are Nuschois that have the flavor of Yira. Yira, it's davening with Yiras Harayimus. The Chassidish Nuschois, the Tarvadas Nuschois, it's more of an Ahava. It's a flavor of Ahava. It's a fascinating insight. I would never know this until someone pointed this out to me, because they're very, very different, and it's really very, very, very true. It's very, very true. The nusach, most nuschos today, I'm not talking about what they do in shuls, because in shuls it's a big mishmash. Okay, in shuls it becomes, unfortunately, some shuls it's a circus sometimes. I'm talking about classic, traditional nuschos when you find in the major yeshivas. Mm-hmm. Major yeshivas who are still loyal to their traditions. Okay. If there are still any, there are left. Okay? It's Yira, and there is Ava. In the nusach, when they don't sing, like they used to be in the yeshivas, they very back, but not to sing. Today it's unheard of. It's mamish unheard of today. They were no undavin. No mudavin, too dry. It's too dry. Chaim Berlin, when I was the first time down in Chaim Berlin, there was kmat nothing. They didn't sing a thing. Not a thing. Today, the whole davening is singing. The whole davening, after the Baal Tefillah was Nifter, by Reifman, was a new Baal Tefillah, so he was loyal to the Nusach, but every year he embellished to reflect the new generation. The new generation can't deal with the stiffness of the Yiras HaRemimus. Need a little of flavor. So he embellished, and now there's a lot of singing. But it has still a tsura of Yira. But the Tarvadas Nusach, it's different. Tarvadas and Lakewood Nusach, it's hard to explain in words. It's a much more Hartzik Nusach. You don't have that same Yiras HaRemimus. So the truth is, what really would be ideal is for Rosh Hashanah to have, according to the Malbim, maybe in his shul, on Rosh Hashanah, you have the Nusach of Yira, because Rosh Hashanah is the culmination of the first part of the tshuva, and then when you come to Yom Kippur, this is the tshuva me'ahava, the Har Siddiq in Nusach, where there's more singing, there's more. See, there's a lot of different these things, interesting how they come together. Okay, so this is the Yisoid of the Malbim. We have to tomorrow continue with the Mamori Chazal. I don't know if we'll do them all, but that's where we'll pick up Mirta Shem tomorrow.
find it done.